Good morning, Borodar, and welcome to this, our online service of morning worship on this, the 15th Sunday after Trinity. An opening prayer. Lord, as you have called us, make us worthy of our calling. Guide us that we may become the people you would have us be. Direct us that we may do what you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We come now to the peace. And before we say it, let us remember those times when we were all able to be together, shaking hands and having a hug, and pray that they will come again. The peace. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. And we come to our opening hymn, number 275, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek forgiveness of our sins, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. We confess our sins. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our gradual hymn for today is number 48, Be Still and Know.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.
The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Eintad. Yr hwnwyt yn y nefoedd, sancteiddio'r enw, dilyd y deyrnas, gwneli'r dewyllus, megis yn y nef, felly ar y ddear hefyd. Dyroi ni heddiw ein bara benyddiol a maddau ni ein dyledion, fel yma ddiw ninnau ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth eithi'r gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eiddo ti o'r deyrnas, a'r nerth a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen.
Blessed be the Lord. For he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore our heart shall dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God. The Collect for today. God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you, they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 50, starting at verse 4, a reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The servant of the Lord said, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, a reading from the letter of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Here's a question. What was the last thing you learned? I'm not really referring to facts or to things you couldn't have known before. We've all learned, for example, the name of the Panjshir Valley in recent days, the last area of Afghanistan holding out against the Taliban. At a more mundane level, I've just learned how to fasten my seatbelt with my injured hand. Mundane, as I say, but liberating. It's the last thing I needed to be able to do to drive independently. But it's not that kind of thing I mean either. I mean, I suppose, something like what we'd call a life lesson. Something about yourself, or your life, or especially your life in Christ, which will either stand you in better stead for the future, or change your attitude and behaviour in some way? What was the last life lesson you learned? We learn best, I think, through hearing stories. Not for nothing did God make his son a storyteller. For example, in the recent Black Lives Matter debate, my own understanding of the lived experience of black people was fundamentally changed by the story of my son's black friend, a London chef, who's been stopped and searched more than 20 times by the police while innocently walking home from work late at night, as sometimes his job requires. Or the story of a teenage black girl, no more than a child really, whose mother taught her to get a receipt for everything she ever bought in a shop, even for a packet of sweets, so that if she was stopped by the police or some security guard, she could prove she hadn't stolen them. The stories of black lived experience, the fear of discrimination, become real when we hear the stories of people who cannot even do the simple things we all take for granted without some nervousness or anxiety. At present, I'm learning things about being disabled, because that's become part of my story, even if only in a limited way and for a short time. Apart from massively increasing my respect for our Paralympic athletes, it has made me realise some of the issues that disabled people have to deal with every day. On Monday, for example, as I've already mentioned, I learned how to fasten the seatbelt for the first time. On that day, I also put on a shirt with buttons for the first time. I put on my second ordinary pair of trousers and tied my own shoelaces. I've been able to do that for the last week or so. So Monday was a good day, and all this is progress. But at the moment, everything on that list, I reckon, takes about four times as long as it normally would. And by the end of it, I'm ready for a rest. Jane, whose whole career as an occupational therapist has of course been with disabled people, enabling them to live independent life more fully, Jane explains that many disabled people and those who care for them have to face a decision every day. Pretty well everyone would prefer to be independent. But does being independent mean that you put all your time and energy into those essential basic activities of daily living? Or is it better to get help with those things, with washing, dressing, shopping, cooking and so on, so that you have time and, even more importantly, energy to do more important things? Your work, your other contributions to family, community, society. Things which will also probably be more fulfilling for you as a whole person. Fortunately, the physio assures me I won't be in this condition for long, but it's still something I hadn't thought of in that way before, a lesson learned. These thoughts were first prompted, though, by my return to writing sermons and preaching. These are things I've done for the whole of my career, and you might have thought that one wouldn't have much to learn about the way one does it. I don't mean, of course, that you can't learn, for example, from other preachers, only that after 40 years, you would expect to have a pretty good idea of what works for you, both as a style of preaching and as a way of working. Of course, COVID did change all that in one way. Suddenly, sermons had to be written down, as this one is, and delivered as a talk suitable for the online service in a radio style. The experts say that somewhere between 70 and 90% of communication is non-verbal. When you're working for a recording, most of those non-verbal tools of communication are taken away. Some remain, of course. Pitch, pace and inflection still make a difference. I'm honestly not sure whether the experts include those in verbal or non-verbal communication. But what's certain is that everything visual is taken away. It all has to be done with the voice. I already knew from earlier occasions when I'd tried to write sermons in full that it's very difficult then to deliver the same ideas without a script. The script may not be there in front of you, but it's present in your mind, and you can never quite escape from it. What I'm now discovering, though, is that the act of writing a sermon out in full can actually have a similar effect months, even a year or two later. We've been more than a year in lockdown, on and off now, and I was writing sermons for delivery by others a little while before that. And what that means, of course, is that the same readings I wrote sermons for then are coming round again. And I discover that having written the sermons down that I preached on those readings last time, they are much more present in my mind and much more difficult to escape from than they used to be, when all my sermons were essentially unwritten. Jesus said, "Every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." It's actually an excellent verse for a preacher to reflect on. There are some things, the old things if you like, that never change. What you might call the fundamentals of the gospel, for example. "No one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid," writes St. Paul. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. Those fundamentals must always be part of one's preaching, though one may find new ways of expressing them. But you can't preach those things every week. You have to bring new things out of the store, even after 40 years. And there'll be things, in the main, that you've somehow learned for yourself along the way, in the business of living as a Christian disciple. "Not many of you should become teachers," writes St. James in our epistle reading today. "We who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for all of us make many mistakes." Indeed so. It's another good text for a teacher to reflect on. And perhaps one fundamental mistake that the preacher can make is to forget that as well as being a teacher, one must always be a disciple too. "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus asks the disciples in our gospel reading today. We might turn the question round. Who do you say that you are? Christians in different traditions might give different answers. Some might say, "I'm a born-again Christian." Some, "I'm a Catholic," or "I'm C of E." But I find that my own most fundamental answer to that question in Christian terms is to say, "I'm a disciple. I'm following and learning like Peter and the rest, and like them, making mistakes along the way. I'm happy to be called a teacher. But as a teacher, like all disciples, I'm always learning too." Amen.
Our third hymn for today is number 1126, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," and this is the Celtic version.
His blood, see from his
An opening prayer. Creator God, forgive our moments of ingratitude, the spiritual blindness that prevents us from appreciating the wonder that is this world, the endless cycle of nature, of life and death and rebirth. Forgive us for taking without giving, reaping without sowing. Open our eyes to see, our lips to praise, our hands to share. May our feet tread lightly on the path we tread, and our footsteps be worthy of following, for they lead to you. Amen. We pray for ourselves in this troubled world. Gracious God, take from us any anxiety we might face as this day with its baggage that opens the door and enters in. May we see opportunities that yesterday were missed, blessings in the little things we might normally walk past, time enough to set aside a space to read your word, say a prayer, sing a song, strengthen faith and know you're there, always there, whatever this new day might bring. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for peoples and nations. We pray for a far more peaceful and inclusive world, for a world where racism and religious intolerance are eradicated, a world of equals, not a world of subservience, a world where nations work together for the benefit of all and not just a few. We pray for the people of Afghanistan facing the harsh reality of gender intolerance, of religious intolerance, and the restriction of individual freedoms. We pray for Christians worldwide who are facing ill treatment and even death for their beliefs. We pray especially for Christians in Afghanistan, India and Myanmar who are being sought out and prosecuted for their belief in Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our community. Lord, as we move into autumn with the leaves changing colour, let us give thanks for what summer has brought us. We pray for a good harvest and willing hands to gather it in. We pray for our local community that the summer has been kind to them and all feel able to welcome the change in season and feel gratitude for what your bounty has given us. We pray for all our LMA churches and their ministers, Matthew, Judith, John and Helwyn, and that you will guide our churches forward as we look to emerge from all the pandemic restrictions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, for those weighed down by ill health, bring wholeness to body, mind and spirit. For those weighed down by worry, bring wisdom, peace and reassurance. For those weighed down by fear, bring freedom, release and liberation. For those weighed down by sadness, bring comfort, strength and joy. We pray for those who mourn. Thank you for the lives of all those loved ones who, whilst no longer walking beside us or holding our hand along life's journey, as they once did, live on in the collective memory of those they have left behind. Enjoy their company, loving God, until we shall meet again. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Final hymn today is number 315. I will sing the wondrous story.
I will sing the wondrous story.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.